Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's zone time, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Julian, alongside some of our usuals. I mean, it's a rotating cast, so it's a lot of different suspects, usual suspects. I kind of throw that around on another show I do. But anyway, Omar from In the Mentions is here. Sam from the broadcast is here. I believe, Sam, by the time this episode comes out, aren't you going to be doing a live show later today? Is it this week?
We are doing a live show on Wednesday. So I guess when this comes out, it will be today.
There we go. There we go. Send our regards to everyone who's going to be there and to Avery, who I understand is making the trek to Vancouver to crash everything.
he's making a one-day trip to Vancouver just to come to the live show.
Beauty. Got the Airbnb and everything. And of course, Justin Cuthbert from Yahoo Sports is here, back from Mexico after spending how many days off? The tan has faded a little bit, but he's here. He's here with us. Let's talk about Austin Matthews to start. He, as of this recording, leads the league in goals. It's very possible by the time you're listening to this, he will have broken a long-standing record from Rick Vive for most goals in a season by a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs. It took someone that long. I think someone made the point that I think Rick Vive scored like his 54th, like 40 years to the
40
day.
40 years.
Austin yes. Matthews did the same. That is incredible. But also just like, really? You guys don't have that many people who have done that in your history?
No, we don't.
That's kind of weird.
So people are surprised. It's like, oh, these fans are acting like they won the Stanley Cup. Yes. I have never, listen, man, listen to me. Okay.
This is what you have.
We have a 50 goal scorer. Like that's foreign territory for a lot of us, man. Again, mm-hmm. we haven't seen that since Andertruck in freaking 94. Like, it's uncharted waters. So, yeah, people are going nuts. It's awesome.
So, it's his race to lose, right? The Rocket Richard Trophy. I know Leon Draisaitl's a couple goals behind him. Guys like Chris Kreider are climbing towards 50. Alexander Ovechkin, Kyle Connor. Some dude named Connor McDavid's at 40. Like, okay, there's some guys there. But, like, this is Austin Matthews's to lose, right? I said he was going to hit 60. He's six. He could do it. I say he doesn't. Omar, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's Matthews is scoring at a disgusting pace. Like when you like take out all the trends and stuff. So what, he has like 71 goals in 82 games. He has 47 goals in 47 games. And then I read some foolishness on Twitter this morning that after 398 games, Mario Lemieux had 191 goals at even strength. You know how much Matthews has in that same time frame?
Probably like
200. 192.
Oh.
Like it's unbelievable. And like a lot of people are chalking it up to like playing with Marner. And by no means am I going to discount that. That's obviously a factor. And like the playmaking we've seen from Marner this year has been ridiculous. And the fact that he's now a legitimate scoring threat has actually made him a better playmaker. But Matthews is he just turns on a switch and just says, hey, I'm just going to casually get a hat trick against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Like Andrei Vasilevskiy looked like a freaking average league goaltender. Like he's supposed to be the best in the league.
Are you saying that's what he? We're gonna remember that Tampa and Toronto play each other in the playoffs.
No, that's fine. And again, by no means am I saying that Vasilevskiy is a bad goaltender. But I'm just saying like Matthews is just he's just a man on a mission, and I think it goes beyond the 50 and the 54 and the 60. Heck, maybe he might even get 65, which would tie like Ovechkin's
total from like a good year, right? Okay.
I could see it. I wouldn't be surprised. So it's just like the sky's the limit when it comes to Matthews. And again, it's just incredible to see.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Sorry,
I was just going to say quickly, I think the goalposts are moving, right? Like, I think he was like, I got to get 50. I got to win the Rocket Richard. Now the Hart Trophy's out there, then 55 and Rick Five at 55. And now 60 seems like it's more likely than not. Like, I feel like he keeps seeing different carrots being dangled in front of him and he's going after it. It's pretty obvious with the way that they've played and the way that he's sort of approached these games that he's pretty aware of what's going on and he's going to try to get as many goals as possible. We mentioned on the podcast the other day, Julian, that kind of took away from his game, especially that last game against Winnipeg, where it was pretty obvious that all they were trying to do was set up Austin Matthews. But the ease to which those goals came against Tampa, where it wasn't forced and wasn't like they were only thinking about that. It was like they got back to basics and Matthews did what Matthews does, which is score goals, regardless of whether he's pressing or regardless of what team he's playing and regardless of whether Andre Vasilevsky's in net. It was like the perfect snapshot of their season, Marner and Matthews against Tampa, with him scoring those three goals and tying the record. And we don't know how high he's going to go, but I feel like it has changed in the last couple of games where what we think is possible and what Austin Matthews thinks is possible.
Yeah, the one thing I was just going to add, you're talking about dangling different carrots in front of him. I was just going to make a really bad joke and be like, the next carrot is dangling a first-round playoff victory.
There you go. Hopefully that still means something, Austin.
Yeah. Sam, do you have a wisecrack you want to make? I know we've basically said as much as we could say about Austin Matthews. Do you have a wisecrack you want to do on Omar, or do you just agree with Omar?
No, I actually, on this one, I actually do just agree with Omar. I think he hit 60.
Yes. Like, I'm sorry. Like,
there's no way he doesn't.
Yeah. Like, the pace that he's on, the fact that he's scoring as many goals, the fact that guys are going to, and I made this point on the podcast too, if that is what Leafs players are like working towards, if that's something that they're pushing to have happen, especially knowing that they're standing in the playoffs, okay, maybe it might change depending on where the points lie, they're going to make the playoffs. I don't think it necessarily hurts for them to not only ensure that he wins the Rocket Richard Trophy, but he scores as many goals as he can before the end of the year. Like, what else is it going to hurt? Like, the Leafs are going to be in the playoffs anyway. Whoever they go up against in the first round is going to be tough anyway. You might as well work towards something. Why not? Let him get 60. Let him hit 65. 70. Maybe not 70. But maybe a little much. He'd have to score like a lot of goals to do that. Not impossible, though. He's really good. He's absolutely really good. And at this point, to kind of transition over to something else I have a gripe with, I get it. He's the dude for the Hart Trophy. He is that dude for the Hart Trophy right now. Maybe it was Igor Shesterkin at one point. He's kind of fallen off a little bit. Maybe Roman Josi should be making a case for it. But right now at this moment, you could say the strongest case for the Hart Trophy is Austin Matthews. But I am all for the definition of the most valuable player award to be changed to most outstanding. I can't believe the Canadian Football League is the only league in North America that has this right. Most outstanding player. Like, whoever is deemed to be most valuable to a team, that should really differ, right? Like, Jonathan Huberdeau, we're talking about his case to be MVP. You can make the argument that Sasha Barkov has a much better case for value. And in Edmonton, between McDavid and Draisaitl, doesn't their value cancel each other out? That's also being said. Just make it simple. Make it most outstanding. And I understand that the Ted Lindsay Award exists, and it already kind of covers that, but the players vote for it. You know, Austin Matthews, you can make the argument he's been most valuable, and he's been the most outstanding player this year. You can make that argument. So why don't we just get to the definition of the Hart Trophy, switch valuable to outstanding, and just go from there, and let the players vote for the Ted Lindsay, and let the journalists, maybe Justin sometimes, vote for the MOP in the NHL. You know, we would still say MVP anyway, because that's what we're adjusted to, but change the definition to most outstanding player. That is the soapbox that I am on, and I will step off said soapbox because I have said what I needed to say about that. Am I talking crazy? Am I talking wild? I don't care what y'all say, because I think it should be MOP and not MVP going forward.
Yeah, I mean, well, based off the definition, like most valuable player to your team, like wouldn't like every starting goaltender be like in that category? I mean, if you have bad goaltending, you ain't going anywhere. doesn't matter who you have as a skater. So, and then even like if you look at Edmonton, like a lot of people can argue about like you know, McDavid would be win the Hart every single year. Right. So it's just like, yeah, I think changing the definition is definitely long overdue.
I mean, I think luckily things haven't been taken literally since maybe Taylor Hall won it. I feel like they have been just taking the best player since then. And maybe Taylor Hall did deserve to win that year. I think that was definitely Connor McDavid's year myself. But I feel like everyone's wising up to this, right? Like we're not looking at just the definition. We're making the right decision, or we're trying to make the right decision. And the valuable thing, yeah, it doesn't really make sense because it could be the goaltender, or you're looking at games that doesn't involve the player. Like that means something more than anything else. No, it's just, it really is the most outstanding player. And they frame it as MVP because that's what, you know, everyone seems to understand through all these decades and decades of history and covering MVPs.
Seriously.
I've given up on trying to understand what NHL awards stand for after Lou Lamoriello and back-to-back GM of the Year awards. I give up.
And like Lou won one of them with like fewer first place votes than Marc Bergevin, which that could be a whole other discussion in itself. But
I'm hearing Lou Lamoriello propaganda again with them like 9 points out and he didn't trade anyone at the deadline. They're like, oh, look at him. He knew they were going to make the playoffs. He knew they were going to catch Washington. Oh, God. It's just ridiculous.
Oh, my God. But also, let's be careful again with the New York Islanders, because we don't want to upset anybody. We don't want to, y'all know what happened last year.
Be all right.
Yeah, Kyle's like...
here. Yeah. Yeah, he definitely won the Devontaeves trade.
See, that's
on that one.
Did he not win GM of the Year and then make that trade, or was it in between?
I don't even remember.
Oh my God.
We need the Omar Kyle Dubas should win GM of the Year speech, I think, at some point.
Yeah.
I would have been the mentions. They don't like Kyle Dubas around the GM water cooler, apparently, so I don't think he'll ever win.
Yeah, you know, Kyle David, remember the whole Kyle on Kyle beef? Like,
yeah, I want to get Davidson's vote.
I know. I figure if Davidson would take the hit for it, but I'm sure Kyle Dubas. I just want to say this too. I'm tired of people labeling Kyle Dubas as computer boy. Like, I don't like it. I think it's just wild disrespectful.
Whatever.
I think it's wild.
This is because it's people who just wanted Mark Hunter to be the GM, who I'm sure would have done an amazing job considering that all of those draft picks are on the Leafs right now.
Or still Lou Lamoriello. I think a lot of people still, some people still wonder why Lou had to go.
Lou could have signed the contracts. Put it that way.
That's one area. One area that I think having Lou around would be cool for. I don't think the Nylander holdout happens if Lou's here, because Nylander probably would have been dealt. so
that's true.
So, that's one area that I think some people, a lot of Leafs fans overall, have an issue with as far as Dubas goes, is just the negotiations. I think he's been better in certain situations, you know. And again, you look at the team now, you know, Michael Bunting, 20 goals, the Liebman contract, David Camp, 1.5 for 2 years. You know, Kosh is an RFA, Engvall's the RFA. So I think there are some, you know, positive things there. But yeah, I'm not calling Dubas computer boy. It's not fair.
Also, if Lou Lamoriello was still GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Matt Martin would be on your team. And he would be protected in the expansion draft. Hey, look, no shade to Matt Martin. There's a reason why he's in the NHL. But Matt Martin being protected in expansion draft and not Jordan Eberle is still one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I think he signed Ross Johnston to a 4-year deal, which was the most hilarious contract.
That too.
4-year deal too. For a guy who probably hasn't played Well, he maybe he has, and I haven't noticed.
For a guy,
he's literally a nothing player, and he's got a four-year, multi-year extension. Is crazy.
You could just crazy. You could just draft a player, or just find a guy in the HL who could do the same thing as what Ross.
Or just sign him to a one-year deal every year because he's not going anywhere anyway.
Well, so much for us not being careful with Islanders fans. This will probably get clipped. All right, let's try to get ourselves out of trouble and go into the hot topic of the last how many days. I know Cuthbert and I went in on the whole Trevor Zegras / Jay Beagle / Tyson Nash debacle on the Iowa Sports Hockey podcast. I've made my gripes publicly about how I didn't see the back and forth with Jennifer Botterill and Kevin Bieksa, like in light of what had happened. And a lot of people were talking about that, but I'd like to hear from you both, Omar and Sam, just about, it's a little broad, but basically just about everything, just because I know Cuth and I have kind of gone in on it a little bit, but like as much as you can, just tell us what you're thinking about the fact that this ended up being the story of the last few days and not the lacrosse goal that Trevor Zegras scored, which was really cool. I don't know why we're just with this stupid topic. Okay, I'm going to stop myself because this. I told myself I was going to not bring back the soapbox, but this has already got me pent up already. Omar, just hold me back.
Yeah. yeah, I mean, listen, I think, like, hockey does, the NHL doesn't make any sense. And I feel like you're punished for being good. You know, and that sounds very stupid because, again, the star players, you know, have the, you know, they get the endorsement deals and they get the highest contracts and stuff. But also you just, like, let's think what happened in that Anaheim game, right? Like, you know, Anaheim's up 5-0. There's 5 minutes left of the game, right? It's not like it's like 12 seconds or whatever. Like, there is a whole 5 minutes. You have a player in Trevor Zegras, all skill, young player, on a team that is doing nothing this season. Nothing this season. So just trying to do his best, you know, pad stats or whatever. And then just has to deal with all this stupid garbage stuff because, oh, what? Because they're trying to skill up the game and what, compete? And it's just like a double standard because, again, we praise players like Brendan Gallagher, like Brad Marchand, like Zach Hyman, who just live in the crease and will always try to fill those second and third opportunities. But well, because they, you know, he scored a lacrosse goal, now, you know, now it's bad. So I don't like the sentiment of we're pretty much telling people like not to try. Because again, like I, Leafs fan, I have seen teams come back when you give them an opportunity to. So I don't understand. I know firsthand. I've watched it many a time. So I don't understand the sentiment of, you know, they're trying to score more and run up the scoreboard. So what? Is that not what sports is about? Is that not the competitive aspect? We praise players for being competitive, and then when they do competitive stuff, they say, they're being too much. Oh, these young players these days. That makes absolutely no sense. And if you don't want players like Trevor Zegras or Andrei Svechnikov to score lacrosse goals on you, then stop them. Mm-hmm. just be better. So I hate that whole like, oh, because we can't do it, other teams shouldn't. That makes no freaking sense. I don't understand it in baseball when you flip a bat after a home run, people get mad. I don't understand it in basketball.
Whoa, Omar, don't be out here flipping anything because that's like, against the rules.
Like I just don't understand it. This is why hockey is so freaking boring. This is why hockey is boring, because when players do cool stuff, they're told not to. That makes no freaking sense. Trevor Zegras scored a goal with a blindfold on, and he didn't win the freaking skills competition. The breakaway
thing to get upset about.
So it's just like I hate it. I hate it. It makes no sense. It's dumb. It's stupid. Just let the players be good. And if you don't want players doing that stuff against you, just be better. Stop them. You don't have to freaking punch a dude in the face for being better than you. Like, imagine that. Oh my God. Sorry.
That was a classic.
That was perfect. It's hard to add on to that because Omar nailed it. I mean, it's hard to think of a professional sports league that hates skill and fun more than the NHL does. Like, I don't understand.
Hot dogging, as Tyson Nash tried to clarify. We should use what he clarified, the term he used in his clarification. hot dogging. He didn't
and
like
he probably said
dogging.
That because if he was playing with Zegras right now, the only thing Tyson Nash could do would be to punch him in the face, like if he could catch him.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, like the reason he said that is because his entire career he couldn't do anything remotely close to what Zegras is doing this season, and that analysis was ridiculous. Like, oh, if you're going to skill it up, be prepared to get punched in the face. This is supposed to be the most skilled hockey league in the world.
It is.
You're telling me that if you're going to be a skilled player in the most skilled league, you should expect to get punched in the face? That is some of the worst color commentary I have ever heard in my life. It just, it made no sense. He doubled down on it. And it like, it's just, it's bizarre. Like, do you want to market the skill of your young players or not? Or do you want them to all just get punched in the face, have CTE, and just have the game be boring trap hockey slogs? Like, what is happening here?
Yeah. Shane Wright gets drafted. Oh man, you know what? I'm really looking forward to a long career of being punched in the face for being better than everyone else.
Connor Bedard, like, first game, does an amazing goal. Yeah, wait till Connor Bedard gets in. It's like, guys, I'm really happy to wear this sweater and be punched in the face for the next 15 years.
Unbelievable.
The apology made it worse because it was like more insight into what he was thinking and the fact that he was between the benches. And he's like, he tried to clarify what happened. And it's like, okay, because Trevor Zegras enjoyed what he did, that the proper recourse in the moment was to punch someone for the fact that a player enjoyed doing something spectacular. I mean, this reminds me of, like, everyone's probably been in this position, intramural sports, minor league, whatever sports, where one team's better than the other, and then the other one has like no, they can't do anything about it, so they just get really angry. This is just that. It's just an inferior franchise, an inferior player, an inferior broadcaster getting upset because they're not good enough in that moment. That's all it was. And everyone's seen that, and everyone can see it.
It was funny too. Anaheim, I think that win for them broke like a 10-game like winless streak. Like they sucked. Like they're way out of the whole playoffs thing right now. Mm-hmm. And they
Ryan Getzlaff's leaving, packing it up and leaving.
He said, I'm done with this, fam. Like, I've seen enough.
Jeez, like let the freaking team have their freaking victory. Like it's so sick. And then he even mentioned that, like, oh, they were smirking on the bench. So the frick what, man?
So what? Like if this was intramural sports, I've been on both sides of like, okay, you're on a team that's getting dumped on or dumped big, and then like any little thing like that sets people off. Y'all are professionals.
He's getting paid $3 million on a contract given to him by Jim Benning to suck. Like, just shut up.
And he doesn't deserve to be earning that money, but he's making it anyway. All he had to do was run out the string of 10 games and earn the rest of that $3 million. So it's not coming next year. And I don't think he proved to anyone that he's a quote unquote tough guy now, because all he did was beat up someone who didn't want to be there. Mm-hmm. It's the last, the end of the road for Jay Beagle. And now this is how we'll all remember him by, which is, pretty unfortunate too.
No kidding. Yeah, also, can we pretend the code doesn't exist? Like they talk about like the fighters and like the people who still fight in the NHL, they talk about the code and stuff. Can we just like, yeah, sure. Oh, 100%. Yeah, there's a code. Yeah, I'm gonna beat up a guy who literally doesn't even have his freaking gloves dropped. And then so tough. Like, come on. And again, yes, I never played the game. I've never been anywhere close. I can barely stop on skates. So I'm not gonna criticize that. But like, it's just like that. It's just so stupid. It's so stupid to get angry and lash out at another person because they're better than you.
Like, the code, the number of people who are like, it's an unwritten rule that you don't do this. Okay, but you know what matters more is the written rules, which is that the team that scores more goals wins. So keep scoring goals. Like,
yeah. The stand in front of the net and just like shadow box in front of the net. And then like that runs up the score. Like, no, man.
Omar, can you repeat that line about people arguing with others who are better than you? I want to make sure I get that right. Can you repeat that one more time? Repeat that line.
Yeah, just like. Like I understand, like, you know, like I never played the game professionally. I can't stop on skates or whatever, but just like people, like in professional sports, there are tiers of players. There are players that will be better than you. So you can't lash out and get mad just because someone's better than you. And that doesn't make any sense.
Stop there, because I was just going to say, for people who got on Jennifer Botterill making the argument about why we have fighting, the people who just, you know, have cookie crumbs on the stomach at home, just saying that she can't have an opinion, she's clearly better than them, and they felt the need to lash out at her when she went on Hockey Night in Canada to argue with Kevin Bieksa. I was about to say that that line works in the scenario of the Trevor Zegras thing, and beyond that, with the discussion that happened after that. People who went at Jennifer Botterill's head for whatever reason, absolutely ridiculous. And I mean it. They have cookie crumbs on the stomach at home, wearing their undershirts, chilling on their couch with their, you know, whatever they look like. I'm not going to be out here body shaming people saying they look fat, because people who are skinny can have dumb opinions too. But essentially, people at home who know nothing about the game, who basically could just be just plain idiots. Just the discourse after that on Hockey Night in Canada surrounding Jennifer Botterill, absolutely ridiculous. I also have to give props to Sam, because, you know, she is always not above dunking on people for their opinions on this sort of stuff. But Sam, of course, had to never lost. But but like, thank you for, you know, putting shame to people for that.
Okay, there was one point somebody was like, just because she's won all these awards and she was good at hockey doesn't make her a good analyst. And I was like, okay, you know what? That's actually a fair point. But unless you're making that point about every other broadcaster, like Tyson Nash, who, by the way, was not nearly as good of a hockey player as Jennifer Botterill was, then I have to question on what basis you're criticizing her for that. Because unless you're doing it to every single person, and unless you actually were like, hey, Don Cherry never played in the NHL, maybe he didn't have a leg to stand on, then I don't want to hear it. If she's the only person where you're like, just because she played hockey doesn't make her a good analyst. Yeah, that's a fair point, but only if you apply it to every single other analyst. And the number of people who are like, oh, well, she played women's hockey, so she doesn't know anything about the men's game. I have no time for that. Like, go talk to John Cooper about how practicing law for however many years he did it equipped him to coach the Tampa Bay Lightning to 2 cups. And then get back to me.
Yeah.
Go clean up the crumbs.
Go clean up your damn crumbs. Go be with your family. Go be a family man if that's what you have to do. Go be with your kids. Stop arguing on Twitter about stuff that you know nothing about. I'm tired
just
of
be this. Cool.
Just be like cool. Like the number of people who are tagging her. Like
that's yeah.
Just stop.
What? Yeah. People, like outright tagging her. Like just be cool, man. Like, I don't, just be cool. Like, what we saw in that segment was probably the most entertaining intermission segment we've seen in a long time. Usually a point is made and people just agree. Yes, this is this. Yes, this happened. And yes, this happened. But this is the first time we saw a legitimate conversation, an important conversation. Because the game is transitioning. We are seeing things. And what they're talking about extends to multiple things. And again, I love the fact that, you know, when the conversation was moving to a different topic, Jennifer was like, no. Like, let's reel it back. No, we're still talking about this. We should be praising that. That's entertainment. That is legitimate hockey knowledge. That is what I'd want to watch in an intermission. So it's just unbelievably stupid, the double standard of when a woman in hockey is standing up and saying something or is doing anything, rather. We have to like, oh, what degree did they get? Oh, how many championships did they get? Oh, wow. All this stupid stuff. This is double standard. Stop it. You're showing yourself.
Let Chris Versteeg hang out on Hockey Night in Canada. I don't want to hear nothing about people debating Jennifer Botterill's, you know, credentials. Chris Versteeg played a decent amount of time in the National Hockey League. His credentials do not hold a candle to players like Jennifer Botterill.
Not even close.
Absolutely.
Also, the people who felt the need to be like, oh, well, Kevin Bieksa, like she was interrupting Kevin Bieksa. Kevin Bieksa was a pretty tough hockey player. I'm pretty sure he can deal with Jennifer Botterill cutting him off here and there. Like, he's not the one here crying about it.
And he handled it well. That was fine. You didn't have any issue with it. Like, man.
Jeez.
I mean, I missed all the online discourse, the tagging. I missed all that. So I'm kind of speaking at it like, taking a different look at it. I just thought it was great TV. Like that show is so formulaic sometimes. Like it's just like, okay, you, then you, and you, and you. That's a point. That's a point. That's a point. That's a highlight. Like rarely do they like stop and just say, hey, that didn't make sense. Or that needs to be discussed further. And that's what you're missing. That's what great highlight shows or panel shows tend to have, where there is disagreement, where there is a real conversation. And I think like they didn't have the time to even call the audible because they were going to the next highlight right away. Like that's mm-hmm. the problem with just structuring it so much, and not to like, you know, not to say we need reform on Hockey Night, whatever. It's just that if you open it up and have a real discussion, sometimes you'll get a meaningful discussion, and that discussion never really finished unless they revisit it later because they were so quick to get to the next thing. That's good TV when two people can disagree and have a conversation that actually allows people to take on different points of views. And I still don't think we got it.
And we shouldn't have had to wait until Monday for it to pop up on YouTube. That's something that we should have been able to see on Twitter throughout the entirety of the weekend. I should not have someone go on Reddit and tweet at me the video link of someone screen recording the whole thing. But that's a whole other discussion.
Especially when there's a big deal on Twitter or people are going after Jennifer Bottle. You should at least be able to see what is being discussed before there's an all out war and pitchforks and torches and everything going on. I mean, at least let's see what happened and allow that conversation to continue.
Seriously. But, you know, because of some of the idiots that are out there, it doesn't take much for them to go after someone like Jennifer Botterill. If you can't tell, we're very pro Jennifer Botterill after everything that happened. That whole discussion, you could take your side with either you're with Kevin or you're with Jennifer. But if your argument at the end of this is just, well, you played women's hockey, what do you know about men's hockey? Get the hell out of here. We have no time for that bullshit. Anyway, we've sworn enough. We've exhausted enough energy, and that's going to do it for this week's edition of Zone Time. Sam, Omar, Cuff, always a pleasure doing these shows with you. You should know the drill by now with regards to how to subscribe to the Yahoo Sports NHL page on YouTube. You should also know the drill when it comes to subscribing for the podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. And of course, check out In the Mentions with Omar, check out the broadcast with Sam and the rest of the crew there, and the Yahoo Sports Hockey podcast with Cuthbert every weekend, and also other times when he'll just do the podcast solo. I keep mentioning drill because, well, maybe we're not going to get that surprise after all. I was asking for it. I thought you were going to pull.
I'm not bringing it out, Julian. I'm not bringing it out.
Fine. Now I look like
it is not coming out. Fine. It's coming out. The drill. Okay,
there it is. There it is. It
doesn't make much noise.
So you're like how Avery brought like the nine iron. Cuff had a drill just like laying around. Just, you know, we'll save that. You know what? If we get that a better charge, we could save that for something else before the end of the season or into the playoffs.
I'll get it charged, buddy. I'll get it charged.
We'll figure that out. For Sam, Omar, and Cuff, I'm Julian saying so long and peace. We'll be back next week. I should mention this, though. We did kind of come at Lou Lamoriello, Stanley Cup champion for a reason, a great general manager, one of the more iconic personalities in the game. We did crack some jokes. This is just for the Islanders fans here. We did crack jokes about him, but we all know how great of a general manager he is and how the New Jersey Devils are as successful as they are largely because of Lou Lamoriello. So yes, Islanders fans, we do not want to disrespect Lou Lamoriello because yes, he did do a lot for the game and he made the New Jersey Devils a success as they were. So Islanders fans, yes, Lou Lamoriello is a great GM.
Second round picks forever.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.